If it was there, I wouldn't be able to sit down appropriately. Now would I? I can't sit appropriately anyways. That sounds like I'm talking about like etiquette, like sitting with your legs uncrossed if you're wearing a skirt or something. You're sitting inappropriately. Says who? It could be an anime scene that you're reenacting, you know?
Okay. Oh. You're strange.
Well, just they always do those like if there's ever a character that's down on the ground, there's always often going to be some sort of joke on panty shots or something like that. And then sometimes you'll have the friend be like, "Oh, you can't sit like that out in public." I almost wonder if that's like a hidden PSA because of all the pervy stuff you hear about happening on trains.
Mm.
You know, and you know, like people
must
doing
be careful.
People taking sneaky photos and staring and whatnot. What if anime's secretly telling people to, you know, do things differently in public? I don't know. Mm-hmm. Maybe instead punish the people committing sexual harassment and assault.
get the ladies some courage to punch a guy in the face. Because that's what I would have done. But yeah. I know some people, they're like, they don't want to draw attention to, you know, being mistreated by a stranger. To me, I'm like, nope, I'm going to let you have it.
We'll let the court decide which goes further, which means more. Are we out of focus again? Nah, it looks like we're okay. Okay. Hey, the sexual harassment or the physical assault.
Yeah, but you could play it off as like the fight, flight, or freeze. I'm like, it was just an instinct.
Well, no, I'm saying that the sexual harassment should go a lot further
that's true.
Physical assault.
Yeah.
Anyways, let's start the show. Good morning or good afternoon, everyone. Well, welcome to the Daily Cup of Genre, the Genreverse Podcast Network, brought to you by or presented by LRM Online. Daily show, almost a daily this week, as a matter of fact, which was great. We get to talk about everything in geek and pop culture, news, entertainment, all that good stuff. Sponsored by the good folks over at Grow Generation, where the pros do go to grow. LRMonline.com, genreverse.com, Genreverse Podcast Network, wherever you get your podcasts from. Apple is a big deal. We would appreciate if you're listening to us on Apple Podcasts. Drop a review real quick. Several organizations and media look at certain metrics on whether or not they're going to let your organization be a part of some association or whatnot. And Apple Podcasts is one of those. So if you are listening to any of the shows, you've ever enjoyed them, please do give us a rating. Hopefully 4+ stars. You know, that'd be great.
Yes.
Be great, but I'm not telling you to give us a score that we don't deserve. I'm Kyle. This is Christine, and it's Friday. Thank God.
I know. I'm ready for this week to end. It's been beyond busy and beyond annoying. So
lots of appointments, lots of shows. Launching the new Genreverse podcast channel on YouTube, which is a lot of fun. But stressful as I'm looking
busy work
down. Yeah. Busy all week. I really don't even feel like I get a day off until maybe next week sometime. For some reason, my, OBS is not loading up my browser, and I'm not sure why, but I did want to say that we've spent most of this week, or at least a few days this week, talking DC, and that this week we should chit chat a bit about Marvel.
Okay.
Today, not this week, but one of the things that I wanted to bring up, a piece that you wrote yesterday about people wanting to like recanonize Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Talk about that a bit. I'm going to try to get up on the screen.
I think it's a terrible idea. You know, it's great when an actor loves their project. you know, that they're a part of. And Chloe Bennett, you know, had talked about it last year.
Yeah, you got it. And up now.
Well, good for you.
Yeah, I know, right? Right.
Anyway, so it's like with Ming-Na Wen's response to the social media craziness about you know, trying to bring it back to canon. You know, I'm just, you know, it's great that she likes it, but I don't. It's like, yeah, like right here, I was like, so basically I disliked most of everything after season two. I did finally push through last year to watch the entire thing beginning to end.
Nope.
I know. It was hard because then it's like every time they throw something at me, I'm like, why is Coulson still in this battle of live or die? What's going on? You know, why have the time travel stuff, you know, it's just a lot of it was just like so weird. I'm like, okay. And they're in space. And it's like it just felt like they just like ran instead of like there being like a steady path. It's just like, oh, let's go this way. And then, oh, let's take another turn. And then it just like, for me, it was like confusing. And I could follow it, but it was just still like kind of weird.
Yeah.
Like, okay, I don't know why we're in this situation.
Yeah. You know, you and I watched the series when it started on TV. We watched, mm-hmm. I think, the first three seasons.
I don't think you watched season three.
That's the one where it started getting really heavy in human stuff.
Okay, so then, yeah, I guess you
where
did.
What's her name was looking for the Terrigen crystal, and at the somewhere in the middle, she turns into freaky needle monster.
Yeah,
that is season three, right?
I believe so.
I think so.
Because it's somewhere around in
yeah.
there.
Yeah. Regardless, I couldn't stick with it past that. The Inhuman stuff was it started becoming okay. Very, very obvious that Marvel Studios up in the movie, you know, group was not as invested in the show as, you know, we had been led to believe. Same with the Netflix stuff. It's all connected. No, it's not. And I guess in a way you could be like, you know, the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. will always be canon unless you see Loki prune their universe, so to speak, which we all know goes to the void, and then that thing can eat it. But we'll see if it, you know, they actually erase any universes. But I mean, it's a variant world where after the Battle of New York, things went similar to the MCU prime timeline, but not necessarily 100%. You know, it had potential, but it quickly went the way of like 2000s superhero stuff. Really cheesy, really corny. They tried to blend CW appeal with, yeah, you know, Marvel flair, and it ended up being too CW, and that's fine for like Arrowverse or Flashverse or whatever you want to call it. We liked the first few seasons of The Flash. I think you liked the first season of Arrow, and after that you weren't.
I dropped too enthralled. It. Yeah, I was. I don't know why. It's just like it just wasn't in my head to. Oh, let me go watch the next episode. So yeah. It just kind of like faded out of my mind.
It's not that the CW method is poor or bad or anything. It's just kind of like
not my style.
Yeah, it's not my for me. And seeing Marvel do it, I didn't care for it. So, you know, at the end of the day, guys, with a multiverse, I mean, unless you see the universe get taken out, it technically still happened. It's just not MCU prime. And I think that's a good thing. Good thing. I mean, look. We all had hopes to see some of the characters return or go to the big screen early in the series. Seeing Skye or Chloe Bennett's Earthquake
Daisy.
Character Daisy. I was going to get all three names out.
Okay.
thank you for helping, because that's what I couldn't remember was Daisy. And then we thought, you know, it'd be cool to see her get on the Avengers roster somehow, but you know, none of that ever came to be. Never say never, because I mean they brought back some Spider-Man characters to No Way Home, and of course that's a project with Sony, but I'm telling you guys now, there's some Fox shit coming to Multiverse of Madness, and very quite possibly not just meaning former Fox properties like a Fantastic Four character or a X-Men character, but I'm saying be prepared to see people from those Fox properties in Multiverse of Madness. I won't say which teams, I won't say which characters, but it's not going to be a boner thing from WandaVision, which I didn't hate. I hated the idea of him being brought over as MCU Quicksilver. Hated that idea.
Yeah, I was kind of like, I don't know. I was kind of, you know, on that fence. But when they had changed it, you know, or, you know, like revealed at the end that it's just like some random dude. Yep. I was like, I'm cool with this.
Yeah, I still think it would have been even more hilarious for it to have been Evan Peters. Like, in universe, yeah. the actor Evan Peters got grabbed by Agatha, like at the gas station on the way to Westview. It's yeah. Like, you're my puppet now. Come on, we gotta go fuck with Wanda. There's so much baggage. There's so much baggage with the Fox stuff. Nick and I were talking about movies to review for Marvel Multiverse Mayhem on the Genreverse Podcast Network and its YouTube channel. Subscribe, hit the red button, follow all the good stuff at the Genreverse on Twitter. Review us on Apple. It just went to one star. We were talking about what to do because we watched Daredevil 2003, Daredevil with Affleck, the director's cut, and I was like, you know, what do we do next? And so we're gonna do a Hugh Jackman versus Ryan Reynolds. We're gonna watch Deadpool 1 and X-Men 1, both relative to their times, at least. Deadpool still being good, while X1 having definitely lost some of that shine, but it was good for when it came out. So, and we're gonna do traditional Marvel Multiverse Mayhem reviews, and then we're gonna do a live, not like live streaming, but a watch party for X-Men Origins.
Oh,
and
God.
Do commentary review over it. I'll cut it down into, you know, good snippets for, you know, 35 minutes, hopefully. And there's so much baggage that starts coming with all those Fox properties, all the bad X-Men movies like Origins, The Wolverine, while better, is still not great. X3 atrocious, you know, two attempts at the Dark Phoenix story fucked up. First Class, I think, is the best out of all of the modern films, but that's not saying much with the team when they were like 60s, 70s, 80s, not 90s. But Apocalypse and Dark Phoenix were atrocious. Days of Future Past was good, but let's face it, you guys all just really loved the Quicksilver scene, and it's good, but that doesn't carry the whole movie. I enjoyed McAvoy and Fassbender in First Class more. I mean, is there any X-Men character from the Fox properties, either timeline, that you want to see brought over, actor and character?
I don't know. I don't know.
Because even bringing one, like, everyone wants Hugh Jackman's Wolverine. He was a fine movie Wolverine, but he's not comic accurate, and he's not even 90s cartoon accurate. And I'm not just talking about the height. I just didn't it's good for what it is, but it's like we have an opportunity, guys, to do new stuff, to bring in refreshed versions of some of these characters. We have all complained about the original X-Men trilogy and the Wolverine movies, except for Logan. For some reason, you guys really like that boring piece of shit. But you guys are no. That's right. Nick and I aren't reviewing X-Men 1. It's Logan. It's Deadpool 1 and Logan. Anyway,
okay.
Then you look over at the other. They're not. We all complained about them. We all complained about Dark Phoenix. We all complained about Apocalypse. There were some complaints about Days of Future Past and First Class, although DOFP gets, you know, all that love because of the Quicksilver scene. That's a crap ton of hate. That's more hate than Spider-Man, Amazing Spider-Man and 1 and 2 and Spider-Man 3 got. Like, that's just three awful movies, not like nine.
Mm.
And that's without even touching Fantastic Four.
Yeah, so it's messy when it comes to all of that stuff, and to me, I'm just like, I'm with you. Let's just do a refresh. I think it needs to happen.
I think there might be, and it might make for too full of a movie, but I have this feeling that maybe Multiverse of Madness will be the Doctor Strange movie will be similar to No Way Home, which would be awful to have two movies back to back use a bunch of cameos stuff, or even, you know, third act full on co-star roles to close loops and gaps and give audience feel goods about characters from these past movies. But maybe, just maybe, Marvel's got the balls to bring in, I don't know, and I'm not even going to say any names. We'll just say they bring in an X-Men and they bring in a Fantastic Four from the previous movies, and they give them some sort of closure, and at the end of it, they're like, oh, okay, these certain multiversal walls are sealed. Nothing can ever come through, and maybe they'll do that.
Mm.
And then I'll still be sort of scared of Fox poison in the MCU well, even though Marvel seems to be poisoning their own well enough.
That's true.
But man, think about those Fantastic Four movies. I mean, think about just the implications of Chris Evans's Johnny Storm having, you know, looking a hell of a lot like Captain America. They don't have to talk about it, but if you're opening the door to one, and these goddamn fanboys and good girls out there just fucking going all over themselves over all this nostalgia shit, how long before there's a petition to get Jessica Alba back as Invisible Woman or Chickless back as the Thing or whatnot? Like, no.
Yeah, they're already fighting to get Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., so it's like, yeah, they might.
What is it about? And I'm not trying to be patronizing or anything, but what is it about things that at one point you really truly didn't like, that all of a sudden you want to see the exact same version again, and instead of seeing that character redone? I don't get it.
What flipped?
Yeah.
You know, at what moment did it flip?
It's like the prequel trilogy love. Where did for Star Wars? Where did all that come from?
I don't know.
What about the Fantastic Four from 2015? Josh Trank's, the one that you haven't watched. I haven't watched in its entirety either. It had Miles Teller as Mr. Fantastic, and Michael B. Jordan as Johnny. What's that? Kate Mara as Sue, and I don't remember the guy that played Thing, and what is it, Jamie Cobble, whatever, as Doom, and it was atrocious. Doom was atrocious. It was a trash movie. Do we have to accept any of that?
I hope not.
And you don't even want to see Fantastic Four at all.
No, y'all have left a poor taste in my mouth when it comes to the Fantastic Four. So for me, I'm just like, I'll see it, but I'm not looking forward to it. I'm kind of like, just like, yeah, I'll see what you got, but I'm just not very optimistic, yeah. You know, and it's just because like, it's been, you know, you try to force it in so many times, you know, let's redo it again and let's redo it again, where it's just like, okay, you keep sucking at it. Let's not. So I know that you had an idea on how it could work. So, you know, maybe it could be not bad, but I'm still like, it's still the Fantastic Four. It's like, for example, and I think I've said it before. There was a store that I was working at in Arizona, and this woman loved Michael Bublé, and she played one of his albums. I don't know if it was like a hit album or whatever. She played it from beginning to end, her shift. She worked in customer service. She put it on, played the whole thing, made me hate his music. To this day, I mean, that was over a decade ago. That was like, what, 15 years ago almost? Like, so it's like, for me, it's like, even now, I'm like, I don't want to touch that ever again. It's like that. So don't. Just don't.
Well, I mean, John Watts, who directed the three Tom Holland Spider-Man films, it has been tapped. Now, that could always change. We saw Scott Derrickson leave Multiverse of Mayhem for Sam Raimi. But I have hope that it can be done well. I don't know that it will be the though. There's a lot of story elements popular in Western culture. Without even getting into societal things, people want to immediately think, oh, you're going to have issues because of either some race or gender swapping or an orientation. No.
Sometimes gender swapping is important. Fine.
It works. Battlestar, for all of you that think let me write this down so I don't forget storytelling. For those of you that don't think that there was any progress in TV, or that anyone against any particular race or gender swap is immediately sexist or racist, check to see if they were Battlestar fans back in the 2000s, because a lot of us were completely okay with Boomer and Starbuck getting gender flipped, Boomer getting a gender and race switch. Like, most of us were completely okay with it.
Yeah, because it reflects,
and enjoyed it.
Like, what we have now today in modern times, a lot of females in the military. So it's like, if there's just...
But
there's going to be that.
In the 70s, making
exactly.
A military
so there's,
show.
Yeah. I mean, obviously the percentages is not incredibly high, but there's still a lot of them present. So it would be kind of weird. It's like, it's just a bunch of dudes. And it's like, okay,
yeah,
I'm bored.
And they wanted to make a more personal story. So my point being is, my biggest fears with these modern storytelling things are things that appeal to like Gen Z and youngest of the millennials. Things like nerfing the adults. The adults must make all the mistakes. They can't be smart. The kids have got to be better than the adults. Why? Because kids want to feel like they're smarter, better, more prepared than adults. In some situations, they are. In a lot of situations, they lack the experience to make decisions on the spot in a lot of situations. So nerfing adults every fucking movie doesn't always make me feel great, because it's not just unrealistic, but at a certain point it becomes obvious that people are kind of like kicking a dead horse, you know. No, they're kicking you while you're down, so to speak, and it almost becomes abusive. There's times I feel abused by Hollywood. Things like insisting on certain casting and character combinations regardless of context or story, so completely throwing out logical things to make sure that you're checking certain boxes. Bringing in modern socio-political stuff can be very beneficial, but if you do it in a bad way, it comes off again as patronizing, as you're too dumb to get this. Perfect example of Falcon and Winter Soldier. They do this great job of showing you human experiences with trauma, war, and stuff. Black and African American experiences in America in the past, the present, military, civilian. They do all of this, and they show it to you in this great storytelling narrative. And what I love most is all the people that were like, "Oh man, I just can't wait to see an MCU where all of a sudden everyone couldn't accept a black Captain America, although they could have a black Iron Patriot, and they didn't mind Falcon." Like, yeah, got guys, sure. Just all of a sudden the MCU was going to be all racist. So when it turned out to not be that, and Walker was not a bad guy, and the government were just regular government assholes, not it basically like, well, it wasn't caps to give away. I mean, sure, we might have considered you, but you know. Like, I appreciated that they didn't overreach to make it dumb and simple, because guess what, guys? Things aren't that simple. And then they fucked it up at the end when Falcon, when now Captain America, Sam Wilson, explains everything that we just saw in the most Barney-style layman's terms in an exposition scene in front of cameras with that senator or whatever. It was so dumb and pointless. It was like Marvel sat there and got the message across. And if you didn't get it, if you didn't get what they were commenting on with, like I said, you know, the African American experience, both civilian and military. If you didn't get the things about governments overreaching, the things about how, yeah, sure, refugees have a point, but so do the people that refugees are running to for assistance have a point when they say, you know, wait, we still have things of our own to take care of. And they show all that throughout this series, only to have him explain it in the most dumb, patronizing way. And the only thing I can think of is by looking at the youth and the best way that I can see them on things like the, you know, social media, the news, and realizing they really needed that fucking simple. They need it right there. Beat them in the face with the message. Otherwise, they don't get it.
Yeah, and
I don't part need
of,
that.
Well, part of it, I think, there may be some people who need, you know, some explanation because they can't learn to, you know, reach for that and understand the layers that they're presenting, all of the different, you know, parts of the story.
And that's when you enjoy it as an action flick.
Yeah, but the thing is, I also think, because I've seen politicians like this as well, I think that, you know, like with the media, it's like they think that the audience is dumb.
Yeah.
And it's just like, we're not.
Exactly. Sonyisms happen all the time where they just stop and want to explain shit to you because Sony doesn't think you guys are smart enough to understand.
Yeah, it's like, this isn't elementary school. I don't need oversimplification in order to grasp it. It's like, I'm an adult. Please treat me like one. So, yeah. Oh, it can be really irritating.
So yeah, those types of modern things, you take that and you start applying it to even properties that I love, Marvel characters, Star Wars, anything, you know, hell, Final Fantasy, Lord of the Rings. anything that you all of a sudden start doing these things that just don't appeal to a big enough audience, you're gonna lose some audience. I'm not dumb, and I don't need it to be super high end sophisticated. I didn't think Falcon and Winter Soldier. I keep trying to call him Captain America because that's who he is now. But I didn't think that the messaging in Falcon and Winter Soldier was too hard to grasp.
Yeah.
You know? God.
I've even had that in my article, one of my articles, where they're like, I don't think the writer understood. It's like, nah, man, I got it. It's dumb. What was it? The Goonies.
The Goonies. Yeah, thing.
Like,
no, don't you get it? This will end up being a good thing, and people will want to get into Goonies because no, it's bad.
I wonder
bad.
If they were just like, you know, because I don't know how successful the board game was that they made, but it was like, you know, we made this, so let's try it out. So
anything for a buck, including us, like segueing to sponsors from sponsorship ads from Grow Generation. Fucked up my segue. Take it away, guys.
Grow Generation, where the pros go to grow. From propagation to harvest, they have everything you need for your special garden. Grow Generation serves customers across the nation and carries a wide inventory of renowned cultivation brands. Go to www.growgeneration.com, where the pros go to grow.
All right. Thank you, Grow Generation, for sponsoring the episode. So make sure you guys check them out. Link in the box below or on the webpage, like below what you're watching or listening to us on. So we talked about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Speaking of people coming back, Andrew Garfield's in the news again. I know Christine loves Andrew Garfield's Spider-Man, the Amazing Spider-Man movies. I actually made her watch one of them. She wouldn't watch both of them.
Hell no! I didn't even watch the Daredevil movie that you had to watch.
I know it's ugh, that one out. God, it's so 2003. I can see how the director's cut is appreciated more than the theatrical, but it's still very very much a product of its time. Mm-hmm. So speaking, everyone's been talking about wanting Andrew Garfield back, and wanting his character to be the main Spider-Man for Sony's Venom verse, if you will. I hate the idea. We've got a Peter Parker. We don't need another. We still need a Miles Morales. If you guys want to do Ghost Spider or Spider Gwen or whatever name she's going by, we can do that. And hell, we're getting Miguel O'Hara for, as you know, Spider-Man 2099 Across the Spider-Verse Part 1, but we could always see him in you know, live action as well. So there's other non Peter Parker characters that we should get, but before we dump the current Peter or bring back an old one. My opinion. What do you think?
I agree. It's like one of those, like, I don't have a problem with Andrew Garfield as a person.
No.
But I'm sure that he loved playing Spider-Man, but to me I'm just like, let's move on, cuz I remember when I first heard about them making Miles Morales for the comics, I was like, it's kind of iffy on it. I'm like, what are you gonna do? Mm-hmm. Are you creating a character and you're not gonna put any effort into it? And then it turned out to mm-hmm. not be true. And I like Miles Morales better than I like Peter Parker now. You know, where it's just like, I'm sorry, I'm tired of you. So for me, like, yeah, that would be nice to move on and get some freshness.
Yeah.
Because there's so much lacking with that. It's like, you know, yeah. I'll just leave it that way. Go ahead.
I agree. Yeah, we'll read what Garfield had to say for those listening on audio. Please do follow us on your app and leave a review, or, you know, 4 or 5 stars. That'd be great. He responded to Variety being asked about Spider-Man and if he would return. He says, "I mean, yes, definitely open to something if it felt right, Peter and Spider-Man. Those characters are all about service to the greater good and the many. He's a working class boy from Queens that knows struggle and loss and is deeply empathetic. I would try to borrow Peter Parker's ethical framework in that. If there was an opportunity to step back in and tell more of that story, I would have to feel very sure and certain in myself." I mean, it's a standard issue Hollywood answer. No, of course, no one's ever going to believe a word he says after, you know, constantly saying this was one of the dumbest things. His fucking my parents bored in the fucking lab in the subway. And I know that's not his fault. That's the writers and Sony's fault, but doesn't change the fact that the movie was garbage. And because it was garbage, I don't want to see his character come back. I don't even want to watch any more Venom movies, to be honest with you. I'd like to see the Venom symbiote is left in the MCU to grow into its own Venom. Mm-hmm. And I don't ever want to watch Sony's shit ever again. Like I don't. Do you?
No.
If you had to watch you didn't have to watch another Tom Hardy Venom movie, would you watch a Tom Hardy Venom movie?
Well, the thing is, I like the second one better than I like the first one, so I don't know if the third one, if they made one, would be better, so I'd be kind of curious to see.
I don't know. So, that's like the difference between straight water diarrhea and like soft serve.
It is not like it is not that bad.
It's still gonna burn. Take too many wipes, and not be worth it. Sure, you got the pressure in your stomach relieved, but now your ass hurts. That's what Let There Be Carnage was like. So the only thing I could think of is that number three would be like a regular poop. Yeah, it felt good to get it out.
Why are we talking about feces? God.
It's shit. The Venom movies are shit. That's why we're talking about them as shit. They were shit. So the best possible thing for the third one is to be a regular BM. Sure, felt good to get it out, but it was still just shit.
Oh my God, Kyle. You're so weird.
Oh, man.
Let's move on from bathroom talk, okay? God.
Okay. So you say there's a chance that a trailer for Venom could impress you.
Yeah. You know, for me, I would rate the second movie a D, where it's like it almost failed, but it didn't. So maybe the next one will be a C or a B. I don't know.
That's so bad. That's so sad. So sad that Sony has to. Oh my God. Could you guys maybe for real borrow the Kevin Feige playbook? Rotham Fox and Vince Acaro. I don't even remember who actually said that line anymore. But could you actually potentially borrow the fucking playbook and follow it for once? I mean, fuck. Anyways, I guess, dude. So it's funny, kind of talking about Marvel and DC this week, because earlier in the week you had mentioned how you're almost liking DC better than Marvel, or at least more interested in the future projects.
Exactly. Yeah. Cause like I said, I think it was Wednesday
before, yeah.
Where it just kind of feels like Marvel is starting to unravel and, DC kind of feels like it's getting more together, I guess, in some ways. So it's, you know, I'm curious to see what happens next.
Yeah. Absolutely. It's not necessarily that I feel that it all will be, like, a lot of this stuff, going back to the storytelling elements I talked about earlier, all of this stuff depends on how it lands. Like, No Way Home, go back and watch every Spider-Man review, anytime we talked about it, reactions to trailers. Excuse me. Every time, shut up, Jawa. Every time I talked about it, it was like, look, I'm scared. This is what I'm more worried about. I don't think this could land well, but if they do, it could be great. It landed well. I need to see the movie a second time before I can say whether or not it's great. Like, in the grand scheme of things, you know, for me, simply because of Mysterio, it's far from home. And then if we include Spider-Verse, Homecoming, No Way Home, Spider-Man 2, Spider-Man 1, Spider-Man 3, Amazing 1, and then Amazing 2 down at the fucking bottom where it fucking deserves to be. And I just don't know if No Way Home, because those top three, Far From Home, Spider-Verse and Homecoming, those are fucking great. Mm-hmm. No Way Home was good. I think it was great.
Okay. Yeah, I mean,
I need to see it again.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, because, I mean, I was worried about it being, you know, too crowded, like too much going on. In some ways it worked. In some ways it just kind of felt weird. Mm-hmm. So I would like to see it again and see if maybe a second try,
yeah,
I might like it a little better.
And for DC, again, it's like, okay, you guys want to do a new Trinity for your new universe of an experienced one Wonder Woman, a Batgirl in place of Batman, and Supergirl in place of Superman. Don't think it's necessarily the brightest idea to take the Trinity and make it all 3 feet female, considering it used to be mixed. Maybe flip it and do two females to one male instead. But it could land well. The characters could be great. And yeah, I don't necessarily think it will all end up well, but I know enough about some of those characters, especially some of the supporting cast, like Shazam and Black Adam being in there. Keaton's Batman will be around for what we think will be at least a couple of extra projects besides the Flash. And one being where basically they're going to do like Batman Beyond, but instead of the boy taking over, it'll be Batgirl. So old Batman, Keaton doing old Batman stuff from Batman Beyond, but for Batgirl instead of the new Batman. I can't remember the character's name. I try not to remember people that keep teenage boys in tights in a cave. It just seems so inappropriate. But again, it's interesting.
Yeah.
But I don't know how to land.
Yeah, just don't do the whole endgame scene where it's like too much girl power it feels like I didn't need this.
It's like Infinity War, you guys towed the line. It was good. It made sense. They were already fighting near each other. They didn't have to run across a battlefield to all line up and march across.
Yeah.
Why? But you know there's going to be some big Justice League Trinity formation moment if indeed some of those rumors about the new Trinity being Wonder Woman, Batgirl, Supergirl, you know that it's going to be an A-Force moment. You know it's going to be. Big build-up of music,
cringy, panning, please.
Cameras all around, big, long, wide shot, faces, yeah. It'll get a Alex Ross hand drawn poster, yeah.
I hate that. Yeah, I
makes you wish for the old 90s girl power days.
I know they didn't want this, like, oh, we're feminists, we like ladies. Give us a pat on the back, give us a cookie. It's like, I'm sorry, this is supposed to be just like basic human respect. I don't need you to put me on a pedestal so that way you could feel good about yourself. No, because then it's just kind of like, why are you... Stop. You know?
No, I can give you girl power. Look. We're lining them all up. We got to go dumber. Line them all up. Have them run across the battlefield. And I can give you girl power. Look.
All right, Roger. Yeah, so it's like I hate that. It's so annoying. Please stop doing that. Please. I'm begging you.
And if that's what you need for affirmation, you need to reevaluate what and who is giving you positivity in your life, because my God, that. And you heard it from a female.
Yeah.
I guess we could go ahead and wrap it up there from talking about some okay stuff in Marvel to comparing everything to different bowel movements to reminiscing of the days where girl power meant listening to the Spice Girls. So you know, and all the 60s fashion that they brought back from, oh God, the fucking British 60s were atrocious. Anyways, guys.
No, it wasn't.
What? You think they weren't?
It wasn't.
It was bad. Platforms? Platform shoes?
Okay, beehive, I will. Okay. No,
the odd colored
vinyl
dresses?
The dresses were nice. The platforms I used to wear when I was in high school, I had a few. They were awful. The beehive should never come back. But there was some moments.
The Jackie O, what about that? The pillbox hat and her style of short hair.
Maybe get rid of the pillbox hat, but the Jackie Onassis look was nice.
Anyways, guys, do check out our website lrmonline.com and genreverse.com. I put Mike on mission. Hey, I made you some podcast page slugs. Go figure out how to get the redundancy out. Does this actually work? Is this dark theme actually work? I don't know. Let's see. Oh my God. It might. Oh my God, ladies and gentlemen, we have dark theme on LRM online. Look at that. It's not perfect. There's some work to do, but yeah. It's Reference Friday. All right. The websites are there. The Genreverse Podcast Network, wherever you get your podcast from. Spotify does take reviews and things now, as well as Apple. Please, if you're listening to us on those apps, drop us a review, a thumbs up, stars, whatever you feel we deserve. You guys suck. Stop talking about poop. Okay. I might consider that. And then, of course, the Genreverse Podcast Network on YouTube. All of your favorite shows, No Mercy Podcast has started up again. That's a lot of fun. Make sure you guys subscribe to it for the Cantina reviewing Book of Boba Fett, Anime Versal. We will be reviewing Belle. On yes. Monday for you guys. We'll be screening the movie this weekend. Brian, Christine, and I will review it, and the embargo goes up on Monday, goes down on Monday, and yeah, so we look forward to sharing that with you guys. Breaking Geek Radio, all the other great stuff, and of course, do check out, whoops, I didn't mean to load up that. Do check out the LRM YouTube channel still for all of the great interviews and red carpet, Zoom, all the in-person conversations and stuff. Lots of great things going on over at LRM and the Genreverse. Christine, anything else you want to say before we leave for the weekend?
No, I'm good.
Say leave, even though I got more shows to record.
Nope.
All right, guys, social media information down below, all that good stuff. Thank you so much for watching this week, and we'll talk to you next time. Bye.